Wittenberg Academy is a completely online Lutheran school. Wittenberg Academy is offering reduced price, 8-week courses to support families and schools impacted by the COVID-19 outbreak. These 8-week courses will run Monday, March 23rd through Friday, May 22nd. Wittenberg Academy will allow a rolling registration and entry to accommodate the circumstances in which families find themselves. Learn more at wittenbergacademy.org. wittenbergacademy.org.
When they come in there, it is with one plan for this woman, and the plan is that they get an abortion. We would censor magazines. We would go through and we would cut out pictures of babies, pictures of diapers.
Whatever our group, whether male or female, Jew or Greek, again, all those categories have become so important again today. It doesn't matter when you've been baptized into Christ. He gives us a different identity.
He'll give you what you need. It's an eternal peace. It's in Him. And He absolutely will give you what you need each day. Pray to Him and say, Lord Jesus, You are my peace.
Dear Lord, let Your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Into Your hands I commend myself, my body and soul. Amen.
Hi, this is Mark in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and fathers watching their 4-month-old daughters love listening to Issues, Etc.
Well, this is the struggle that Christians are engaged in right now. I have said it's a struggle between the third, fourth, and fifth commandments. There's no contradiction between those commandments to remember the Sabbath day, to honor authorities, and well, to do no harm to your neighbor unnecessarily, but sometimes it looks like they're in conflict. Even institutions like the Vatican are struggling. What do you do when you might be putting people in harm's way by simply doing what the church has done for thousands of years, gathering to celebrate the Lord's Supper, especially going into Holy Week and Easter for the Western Church? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, March the 18th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about Holy Week, Easter, and the coronavirus. Terry Mattingly will be our guest. And then we will be studying the hymn, If Thou But Trust in God to Guide Thee, with Pastor Will Whedon. Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow at the Overby Center at the University of Mississippi. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's also founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
What has the Vatican announced about Holy Week and Easter services, and what does this news out of Rome have to do with thousands of local churches in the United States?
Well, we have the news that was and the news that now is, and the news that could come yet. So let me walk through that. It was amazing when the Vatican announced that they plan to do Holy Week and Easter with the Basilica of St. Peter empty. In other words, the Pope, you know, and a crew of people, I'm sure some sort of choir, they were going to do it all and broadcast it to the world like everybody's trying to do right now. They're trying to do virtual church in some form or another. The poignancy of that only gets higher as you move closer to the most important week and the important day in the Christian liturgical year. So now we have, in a way, a second announcement of the news, which is, wait a minute, maybe we spoke too soon. And in those words are all kinds of potential stories in the weeks ahead that I hope the press kind of understands what's happening here. Because what I think is happening at the Vatican is exactly what's happening at my church and is probably what's happening at your church and a lot of others. You're looking through all of the amazing hymnody and symbolism and the amazing worship services of Holy Week and Easter, and you're thinking, what else can we do with this without putting our people at risk? The liturgical guide for the Orthodox Church for Holy Week and, you know, and the end of Lent And Pascha itself is something like 600 pages long. There is a lot of material. And the whole idea that a couple of people are going to sit in the church or stand in the church, Orthodoxy, and do this for the camera, that's better than nothing. But I know what the Vatican's got to be doing is thinking of several issues. And the second, I think you and I can walk through the week together. I'd love to hear your perspective as a Lutheran on what might be able to be done. But then we can look at some of the symbols in the other liturgical churches, you know, and try to think, what could creative, responsible church leaders do with these services? Then at the same time, the news is, well, will the press cover that? It's a part of this history making once in a lifetime, maybe the first time ever, series of events within world religion. And of course, meanwhile, you have Passover and you have Ramadan and you have a lot of it. Can you imagine Mecca being closed for, you know, during this whole period of time? So we're talking about something that's shaking the world in terms of religion. And I know that there are creative people locally and at the national levels of churches and even at the global levels of churches in terms of the Vatican and parts of Islam, I'm sure, and Jerusalem. What would they do in Jerusalem during these days without bringing huge crowds of people together? How will they symbolize this? What kinds of services can they have? Now, I'll just give you one image I saw the other day that just, you know, just yanked at my heart. It was a picture of a Roman Catholic priest who had moved confession outdoors. And a car would pull up and there were the yellow traffic cones. And the car would park between the yellow traffic cones. And then about 5 to 6 yards away, behind another set of traffic cones, sits the priest. And he's plenty close enough to be able to hear what people are saying. And he's out in the middle of a parking lot so that no one can overhear. And the priest is hearing confessions to prepare for Easter. Because under Catholic tradition, you're supposed to go to confession during Great Lent and leading up to Holy Week. The same thing is true in Orthodoxy. Well, right now, everybody's trying to figure out, well, how do we go to confession? In Orthodoxy, the rite of confession ends with the priest putting his stole over your head as a sign of God's grace and forgiveness, and he places his hand on top of the stole, on top of your head, and says the final prayers, you know, at the end of the confession rite. How do you do that from a distance of 6 to 10 feet? How do you do so many things, yet clearly people want to find a way to do these things? And I know all over America, bishops are working on this. I know there are parish leaders working on this. I know there are pastors working on this. And both as a reporter and as a churchman, I can't help but think of the possibilities here. Does this make any sense to you?
Yeah, I'm wondering, in the reporting so far that has taken place, have you noticed any glaring omissions? Just the Vatican story, narrowly speaking here.
Well, they're not really looking at some of the other services that lead up to Easter. They're settling for Holy Week and Easter. Okay, let's put another thing in there. The Stations of the Cross. I can picture in the almost empty streets of Rome, I could picture something very moving and valid involving the sign of those empty streets and the Pope and some small group of people, of other clergy and maybe singers and whatever, who've all tested negative or all are of low threat to getting the virus, and in effect walking the streets of Rome as the Stations of the Cross. I thought of that the other day when the last Sunday when the Pope did this amazing prayer vigil walking through the empty streets of Rome and visiting one particular relic and symbol of a plague from, I believe it was the 16th century, and offering prayers there for the relief of this crisis and for the protection of his people and for healing. Very, very moving. And the fact that the streets were empty made it only more so. You may have heard that they canceled the St. Patrick's Day parade in New York the other day. And I thought to myself, this is horrible, yet, I mean, even though that parade has primarily turned into a cultural and political event. But also think of the opportunity. What would have happened? Think of the visuals. If in the empty streets of New York, they had done an actual procession of an icon of St. Patrick. If they had done a combination of that and a procession with the sacrament of within a monstrance, with the consecrated body of Christ held high in one of those beautiful sunburst, it's called a monstrance, but it's a symbolic kind of sunburst on top of a tall golden staff, and you march behind it, carrying the body of Christ through the streets. Well, right now there are places in the world where you could do this that you never could have before. And I'm trying to think of ways and stories that could be linked to the uniqueness of this time. I'm trying to picture this big icon of St. Patrick being walked around St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York in these virtually empty streets with a chance to say the breastplate of St. Patrick, that beautiful liturgical hymn, and actually have people be able to hear it in New York. And there would be thousands, maybe millions of people who could watch that. And it would be a singular, unique, and historic rite. Well, now here comes Holy Week. What are the unique symbols of that week that could be created and used under these circumstances that never could have been done before? So, I mean, to me, the most obvious is some sort of elaborate Stations of the Cross, at which point you would have people all over the world at their computers with copies of the prayers of the stations being able to follow the Pope of Rome from one location to another in this symbolic setting of the stations. And just think of the art in Rome. Think of what's available in terms of paintings and statues and locations. Well, now, when you say, what are the reporters missing? They're missing the whole story in Rome, but I don't think it's hit anybody yet that this story is going to come home to their cities and their zip codes and the cathedrals near them and the large Protestant churches near them and the Orthodox churches near them. I can walk people in a second if you want me to through some of the symbols of an Orthodox Holy Week. And this year, you know, on the old calendar, our Pascha and Holy Week is 1 week later than the West. So they're not that far apart. And in the current crisis, they're not far apart enough that it's going to make much of a difference in terms of where we are as a nation and where we are as a culture. We're all in this together, you know, now with the president saying that it's possible that this crisis could peak in the summer, that we go really hard in isolation right now for 3 weeks as a way of limiting the medical impact of this on emergency rooms and ventilator machines and things, but that the actual need for some forms of social distancing is going to continue for quite some time, because at the moment we have no way to treat this virus, and of course we're 12 to 18 months away from vaccines. So we're all in this boat of the church together, and the other world religions have parallel issues, especially Judaism and Islam, have parallel issues right now. And there are stories all through this that we're going to have to watch and see if people in newsrooms talk to people and figure out what's going to happen and then cover it.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about Holy Week and Easter services in the age of the coronavirus. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. We'll be right back. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is for children ages 4 through 7. See My Savior's Hands is written by Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Will Whedon. Learn more about See My Savior's Hands at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. See how Jesus' hands tell the story of his life, death, resurrection, and love for us in See My Savior's Hands, a great Easter gift for young children, grandchildren, and godchildren. See My Savior's Hands.
Wittenberg Academy is a completely online Lutheran school. Wittenberg Academy is offering reduced price, 8-week courses to support families and schools impacted by the COVID-19 outbreak. These 8-week courses will run Monday, March 23rd through Friday, May 22nd. Wittenberg Academy will allow a rolling registration and entry to accommodate the circumstances in which families find themselves. Learn more at wittenbergacademy.org. wittenbergacademy.org.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilk, and we're talking about Holy Week, Easter, and the coronavirus. Terry Mattingly is our guest, senior fellow at the Overby Center at the University of Mississippi, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and founder and editor of Get Religion. So, Terry, I'm wondering if you've seen any coverage of this, that this may, in fact, just be a story about the historic sacramental churches like Roman Catholicism, Orthodoxy, mm-hmm. Lutheranism, for whom the presence of Christ in the sacrament is central to Sunday morning, and they can't do that virtually. It's impossible. Meanwhile, you have a lot of big box churches in the United States and elsewhere, Australia namely, where going virtual is not a big problem because they have a kind of non-existent view of the sacrament, and symbolism and reverence around that sacrament is not an issue either.
Well, but they do have huge productions, both musical. Some do elaborate Easter concerts. That this year, I mean, if you have a 80-voice choir and an orchestra and you want to do the Easter portions of Handel's Messiah, or if you have some other tradition in your Protestant church of a gigantic sunrise service on Easter, how are you going to do those this year? Or do you just film 30 people doing it and then say, well, everybody imagine it in your mind? I think to some degree they face similar issues, but not nearly as elaborate and protracted because they don't have the entire step-by-step procession of symbols during Holy Week. I just raise a few of them here just to be obvious. The famous ceremony of the Pope and others, we do this in our own church, of the washing of the feet. Well, that implies that somebody's washing somebody's feet. Well, the whole point of that service is that it's members of the congregation who come forward in this symbolic action of servanthood on the part of our clergy and then of other people washing each other's feet. how do you replace that? The institution of the Lord's Supper itself. I'm trying to think of, within Orthodoxy, one of the most amazing services is the reading of every single passage in all four Gospels of the Passion itself. This service lasts almost 4 hours. And you say, well, the clergy can light the candles and the clergy can use the icons in the way they're supposed to be. Well, but how do you replace the fact that just the emotional impact of being there for those 4 hours and spending all that time on your knees? And a lot of people end up by the end of that service just emotionally drained and in tears because they feel like they've relived part of the Passion. How do you replace that? Here's another one. In both Orthodoxy and Catholicism, the traditional time to enter the church is either at the beginning or the end of Holy Week. Specifically, Holy Saturday between Good Friday and Easter is when a lot of churches have their new members go through the ritual of entering the church, and they're chrismated into the church. How do you do that without those people there? I mean, in my own parish, we have, I believe it's 16 people waiting to be chrismated to enter the church. They've been studying and preparing for this for months, and now it can't happen. At the Vatican, it's all kinds of people. In some Catholic cathedrals in America, there might be 50 to 60 people waiting to enter the church or more. How do you do that? Two more images from this. One of the most beautiful services in all of Orthodoxy is when we take a woven and upholstered icon of Christ and lay it in a tomb, like a shroud. It really is a symbol of the shroud. It's covered in flowers, and then we carry it around the church. And it's literally the funeral procession for Jesus. And there's hymns we sing that are incredibly beautiful and moving. Catholicism, I think the Stations of the Cross would be a very similar thing. Well, I've been thinking, Todd, I don't know if you've thought about this. Are there some of these services that could safely be done outdoors with people further apart? What if at our church, what if the people of the church formed a gigantic circle around the church, standing 10 or 12 feet from each other? We sang the hymns, and then the tomb was carried around our sanctuary inside that circle. That's not in anybody's liturgical guides, but it might be the safest way for us to all be there and sing the hymns and just at least take that part of the service. And the other day online, I heard somebody mention, what if your Wi-Fi was strong enough for people to sit in their cars and follow the Paschal service on their computers in their cars? And then at the end of the service, one at a time, the families would go into the church to receive the sacrament and have their Pascha baskets, the food that they've been bringing for the great Paschal feast, and have that blessed by the priest. And then they would leave and another family would come in. Some churches might be too large to do this, but it's possible that we could at least still, as individuals or as families that have been quarantined together, could still take part in the ritual in that way. Would a bishop approve that? Has anybody thought of that? All of these things are being discussed online. Now picture yourself being a reporter, and you're trying to figure out how to cover this first Holy Week and Easter of its kind in the history of the United States, especially with the advent of the internet and everything. Didn't this sound to you like an interesting story? Can you picture the art, the photography possible during some of these things? All I'm saying is this is a story that's ahead of us. And the uncertainty at the Vatican, as they're clearly now stopping to think, well, maybe the basilica doesn't have to be totally empty, or maybe there's some other way we can do this that shows how important all of this is to our faith. And maybe, maybe we can do more than just watch it on the internet. Or even if we do watch it on the internet, how do we use this unique circumstance and these empty streets and this sense of isolation that we're already feeling already? How do we make that a part of the experience in some way that's faithful to our tradition and yet helps our people during this time? During a service during the week at your church, Todd, is there some moment that the people just can't picture giving up in addition to Easter itself?
You mean during a Sunday service?
No, during the actual week of Holy Week.
Oh.
Is there another service or something that really is meaningful to your people?
We celebrate in the Lutheran confession a Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and then the vigil of Easter is making its way back into our practice.
Right.
And I think probably for those who, I believe it would be, this is ironic, it would be probably 2 points. The celebration of the Lord's Supper for Maundy Thursday. And then
the institution of the Lord's Supper.
And then near and dear to other people's hearts are the various services that would be held on Good Friday, a noon service, and then some have a Tenebrae service as well. But that noon service, that we call it the chief service, is something that a lot of people just can't imagine going through Holy Week without doing.
Yeah. So you face some of the same challenges that I'm talking about. And a lot of Protestant churches, as you know, free church traditions do, they've created their own versions of this. I remember in Washington, D.C. at Presbyterian churches, there was the preaching of the last of the words from the cross. And there'd be like this lengthy series of Bible readings and then a sermon preached about each of those. Well, sure, you can broadcast that. And you should. You should go ahead and do it somehow. But is that the same thing as going through the experience? So what else could you do that would symbolize that event into this remarkable environment that we're in right now, both as believers and also as journalists who are trying to capture this once-in-a-lifetime story?
I'm curious if you have seen any coverage or if you expect any coverage of churches that may decide that, like working at home, some people may say, why do we have a brick-and-mortar office if we can all do our jobs at home? Churches that may contemplate being virtually present on a permanent basis after this.
There have been people, I mean, I think I wrote my first story on that concept over a decade ago. People trying to build virtual churches online, and you could go into the different rooms and talk to different people who were at church for different purposes, a prayer room and an education room and, you know, a healing room and all these other things. I think what we're getting out of this is this isn't going to go away, but I think people are also learning that this can't replace actual community. But let me give you one other thought that I know some large church pastors have to be thinking about. The baby boom generation, the second largest generation that we have in our midst right now, of which I'm at age 66, right smack in the middle of it, and the leading edge of it is about 75. You know that 5 or 6 years from now, 10 years and out for sure, there are going to be a lot of baby boomers at home needing to take part in their church services virtually. Well, I think there's going to be a lot of churches that are better at that 5 to 10 years from now than they are right now. A lot of people have been thrown into the fire of needing to be able to send their community out into people's homes. It's going to come back into the news again as more and more baby boomers are not able to attend those services all the time and want to find other ways to take part.
I'm going to ask you to predict something. Will we be seeing a Easter Mass being celebrated from St. Peter's Basilica with the Pope and a few attendants and deacons, but with the rest of that huge church empty?
I don't think so. I think Italy, going through the heart of the crisis right now, it's going to get worse, but I believe there's going to be enough testing. I predict they're going to find some way to have a congregation of people who have been tested and found negative, or they're going to find some way for representatives of different communities to be in that basilica. The basilica, I don't think it will be full, just like my own church here in Oak Ridge, which on Pascha is packed. Every square inch of that sanctuary is full. I mean, and some people talk about Easter Christians, people who only come out at Easter. At our church, it's just we don't have a building that's big enough for the people we have right now. It's not going to be the same as it always has been. But I think our bishops and I think our leaders are going to find some way for this not to be four or five people doing the service with cameras aimed at them. I think we're going to see other types of rites and other ways of symbolizing. I keep saying that. Other ways of symbolizing these events. I think some things are going to emerge, and I believe that will be a tremendous and beautiful story if journalists have the eyes to see it and then cover it.
Terry Mattingly is senior fellow at the Overby Center at the University of Mississippi. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He is founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, talk with you next week.
Glad to do so.
When we come back, it's time to study a hymn of great comfort. And this is actually at the request of Pastor Will Whedon, who will be our guest. The hymn is called, If Thou But Trust in God to Guide Thee. It kind of walks us through this plea for God's mercy and this word of admonition and encouragement to trust God and His promises. Stay tuned.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Since 1978, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Ministries and her workers. Thanks to faithful investors, LCEF has provided thousands of church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations with the low-cost loans and resources they need to reach more people with the saving name of Christ. To learn more, visit lcef.org or call 800-843-5233, 800-843-5233.
In 1939, the British Army received an Enigma machine that helped them crack the secret Nazi codes in World War II. In the March issue of the Lutheran Witness, the Reverend Sam Schultheitz writes about the Screwtape Letters, a book written by C.S. Lewis, a type of Enigma machine for deciphering the temptations of Satan. Read the March issue of the Lutheran Witness to learn more about the Screwtape Letters and how Satan tempts us today. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/witness.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
At Our Savior Lutheran Church in Winchester, Virginia, you will hear God's Word faithfully preached every Sunday. We invite you to join our growing family of believers this week and every week for Education Hour beginning at 9 a.m., followed by Divine Worship at 10 a.m. For more information, find us on the web at oursavior-lcms.org. That's oursavior-lcms.org.